about this amazing trip to Uganda and how God is using Wes and Hez Faith to share their heart with others as well. And I just, you know, I've been spoken to this morning. I'm sure you have as well. I just want to continue that really with the fact that for those of us who have faith, God has called us to shine, hasn't he? To share our faith, not to keep our faith to ourselves. And this passage is really one which is there saying that we've got to do something about what the places God has put us into to make a real difference and to share our faith with those around us to really shine. And that's what Isaiah 61 is all about. So let's read Isaiah chapter 61. And we're going to read from verse 1 to 7. And then I've just got 3 points I want to bring out about this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in the land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. The first point I want to bring out from this passage is this. We have been given a commission, haven't we? A great commission as Christians. And Jesus has asked us to fulfill that commission, to share the good news with all those around us. And that is a key outworking of the Holy Spirit. We've actually been filled with the Holy Spirit. We've been anointed with God's Holy Spirit for this very purpose, to share the good news. You look at that at verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. Why? To preach good news to the poor. That's what we're called to. That's what Jesus was called to. You know, some Christians love to be in meetings. They love the refreshing of God's Spirit. They love to be filled with the Spirit, to have times of worship. We all love that, don't we? We all love being together, having that amazing fellowship together with each other and with God, and to know the filling of God's Spirit. But we're filled for a purpose. There's a purpose behind it all. We're filled to spill. He wants to fill us so we can go out and share the good news with others. If all we do ever is just worship together, we'll have a great time, I'm sure, but it wouldn't be any good for the world around us. You think about Jesus. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God to preach good news to the poor. He could have come to this world and he could have been a monk, couldn't he? He could have been in solitary confinement and been very holy and prayed a lot, but not actually shared the good news with anyone. And we wouldn't have been any of the wiser. We wouldn't be here today if Jesus had just kept himself to himself. So just as Jesus went out in the power of the Spirit with a message and told people about God's love, we've been filled with that same Holy Spirit for that same purpose, to tell others about him. You know, the words for good news there, good tidings, is the same word that we use for evangelism. It's the euangelion, is the Greek word. This is written in Hebrew, but when it was translated into Greek, they use that term euangelion, and it means good news. And it's really all to do with that picture of a herald. When there's a time of war and the army is approaching and people want to know, is it good news or bad news? Because there's been fighting going on, so people are on the walls waiting for the messenger to come back. Have they got good news or have they got bad news? And then someone comes back, it's good news! And you can just imagine the roar of excitement as the messenger brings the good news. Well, we're like those messengers going out with the good news, telling the world, although we're living in such dark days and although there's such terrible things happening on this earth, we have good news. We have light. We're like those people going with that message of good news. So who are the poor? Well, the poor might be physically poor, but really when you think about it, the Bible says the poor really are those who realize their need of Jesus. We've got good news to the poor. For those who realize that they need Christ, we have the answer. And not everybody is in that place of realizing their need of Christ. So sometimes those who are physically rich, they're so satisfied in what they have. I don't need the Lord. You know, what do I need that for, you know? So often you do find it's the physically poor that actually are able to relate more to this message because they're open to hope. They're open to something that's going to bring change into their lives. But it doesn't mean, you know, if you have riches, you can't become a Christian. You know, that Jesus said, it's with God all things are possible. But it's just that we're living in a world that so often people are so satisfied with what they have. So we need to pray that God would bring to each person that conviction that without him, we're all poor. Without him, we're in poverty. And we're broken. We're spent out. Jesus brings life to each one of us. The gospel is good news to the poor. So let's just pray that God would use us in our workplaces, in our families, from day to day. And we would just be there in situations where people may be going through trials and they suddenly reach out and they need something. And we just bring that gospel to those who are poor in situations. The second thing is this. The anointing that we've read about in this passage, it speaks about kingly authority to release captives. So a king would be anointed when someone ascends the throne. They're anointed. The queen was anointed when she became queen. She was actually rubbed with oil. They took olive oil and they would have poured it on her head. Just as in olden days, this would have happened. You think about King Saul. He was anointed with oil, wasn't he, by Samuel the prophet. Also, David was anointed with oil by Samuel the prophet. And from when they got that anointing, they had that authority of being king. And in the same way today, it's the anointing, that kingly anointing, that enables people to be broken free from all sorts of bondages in their lives. The king has authority. I don't know if you heard on the news about Harry as prince. Well, he's now called the artist formerly known as Prince. He met with John Bon Jovi in Abbey Road Studios. And when you've got princely authority, when you're royalty, you could just walk into Abbey Road Studios and say, oh, I think I'll do some recording today. So he did some recording for his charity with the Invictus Games, and he met with John Bon Jovi. We don't know if Harry actually sang or not, but I think he probably did. Yes. Yes, okay. But there's a clip, I think, that he put on YouTube, on his Instagram, where he's there with John Bon Jovi with a microphone. He's just about to sing, and then the pause button comes up. So we don't know if he actually did sing with John Bon Jovi or not. But when you're royalty, you can do these sorts of things. There's an authority that you have. And when Jesus comes into our lives, he comes with his kingly authority to set us free from things that we can't set ourselves free from. And that's why when you hear about stories in Uganda and all across the world, and in here in the UK as well, you hear about amazing stories, about testimonies. When Jesus breaks into people's lives, they end up with a story. And you've got an amazing story. Each one of you has got a story to tell. Just as we heard about West End Has Faith, we're sharing their stories, each one of them with a testimony. Each one of us has got a testimony of the King's authority, him breaking us free from addictions, from things that would bind us. We've got that story to share with others. There is hope because Jesus is on the throne. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in power and empowered all of God's people with the king's authority. So Jesus, imagine it, Jesus ascending onto the throne in heaven, in glory. his rightful place where he deserves to be, especially because of all the things that he suffered. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And as he's anointed, that anointing flows down his garments to his church, and we get filled with the Holy Spirit. We have that kingly authority, that anointing of a king, the King of Kings, to go on into situations and to speak his authority into situations that things would be different. So just know this morning, you have an authority from the King of Kings, a mandate, a calling to share the good news, and he backs it up. Remember, Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go. So the King's authority is behind us. You know, just as people say, open up in the name of the law, you know, we have an authority behind us. In the name of the King, we can say to demons, be gone in Jesus' name, because we have an authority behind us. We can pray for the sick and see healing because of that authority that Jesus has given to each one of us. We can see situations changing and God breaking through. And then lastly, as we sow ourselves on behalf of others, they too shall build us up. If you look at verse 4, it says, they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Then it says, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. The sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. An amazing thing is this. The church in the West is almost going into self-preservation mode, trying to keep the doors open. You know, we're thinking, oh, we're losing people, and let's try and keep the doors open, that sort of stuff. And when the church gets into that self-preservation mode, it's not good. It's not good news. It's as the church sows out into the community, as we give of ourselves into other people's lives, so in return, our walls get built up. The church gets built up. You think about Jesus. He sowed his life. He laid down his life. And Jesus said, every seed that dies, if it's willing to die, it's going to bring forth a great harvest. It's going to bear fruit. And we need to die to ourselves, really, in order to bear fruit. As we sow ourselves, not into ourselves, but as we sow ourselves into others, into other lives, so we're going to see great, great fruit. You think about something like the food bank that we run week in, week out. We're sowing ourselves into other people's lives, and we'll see the fruit of that. Lives changed. There's a lady locally who, when she went through a difficult time, she had to use the food bank. And as a result of that, she's arranged a regular collection through the cinema, and we get weekly food from the cinema, because when she was at a low point in her life, the food bank was there for her. So as we sow to others, it comes back to us. And I just want to say to you, don't ever think, you know, if you're giving out, you're just going to burn out. Let's sow ourselves into other people's lives, but with the knowledge that as we give to others, it's going to come back to us. As we sow, we're going to reap. I think the church in the West has become so comfortable, isn't it, really, when you think about it. We're so used to getting our sermon and having our fellowship and stuff. We need to be those who really are taking this Isaiah 61 seriously, that we go out to bring justice to the nations. We go out to bring the good news to those who need it, and we sow ourselves into other people's lives. And as we do that, God will build us up too, and we're going to see amazing things happening. Amen? Let's pray to finish, and then we're going to finish with a song. Father, thank you for this amazing passage. Thank you, Jesus, that you fulfilled this passage when you came to the earth. Thank you that you sowed yourself into our lives that we could be blessed. Lord, help us to sow ourselves into other people's lives, to go with the good news, to go with your authority as King of Kings, and to be bold, and to see this passage also being fulfilled in our day, just as it was fulfilled in your day. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.